Philippians chapter 1, if you would please. And we're going to read the first 11 verses here in Philippians chapter 1. So out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able, you can stand, please. Philippians chapter 1, and I'll read out loud. You follow along silently as I read these 11 verses here in first Philippians. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you in all making request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. So you see there, Paul mentioned this by detail as he was going down through this remembrance and just introduction here to the Philippians. These Christians at Philippi, which obviously meant something to him. They were very special to him. And he said as much. And we go on here and we see there in verse 10, he says that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. You see, a sincere Christian, one without offense, is one that is approved by God, if you will, or approved unto God, as we heard in other portions of Scripture, that we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, right? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I mean, these things, that's what we're supposed to be striving for. It's not man's approval. I'm not striving for your approval. You're not striving for my approval. We're all striving for God's approval. And that's how it ought to be. And he says we ought to be sincere. And we ought to be without offense. We ought to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. And all of this is unto the glory and praise of God. That's the kind of life we're supposed to live. A sincere life. You may know that sincere means being in reality what something appears to be. That's sincere. It's something that is not feigned. You've heard that word before. That's a good word. Okay? It's not fake. You're not play acting. It's real. That happens to be one of the things. Real. Not simulated. Okay, so when you go to the store and you buy the vacuum sealed bag of lump crab meat, it's not. It's simulated. Did you know that? It's some kind of fish that tastes, and they make it taste like crab because crab's too expensive. Right? It's simulated. Okay, this is not simulated. It's sincere. It's not artificial. It's not assumed or said for the sake of appearance. What does that sound like? Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like this sinner. It's not pharisaical or hypocritical. It's real. You know what? I think for the most part, the air quotes Christianity crowd is simulated and is by the world viewed to be simulated, artificial, not really what it appears to be. Pretend for sake of appearance. Oh, they just act that way to look good. But really, they're just like the rest of us. See where I'm going with this? True Christianity and the true believer ought to be a sincere Christian. Just pinch it. It really is this. I mean, it's not fake. That's why I tell people, look, I may be really kooky, but I just am who I am. Isn't that better than pretending to be something you're not? Or pretending to be something and you're really something else? In my book, that's worse than just being retarded or weird or whatever it is the case may be. When people say I'm weird, I say thank you. Okay, that's just what I do. And so, anyways, but we ought to just be sincere. We just ought to be real. We just ought to be pure and not simulated, not feigned. We just ought to be what we appear to be. And that's believers in Christ. To what? To the glory of God. That's what God wants. Hey, you just look through all these people that God chose to use. They were a little strange too. Peter and Paul and all these guys. Yeah, they were. All kinds of strange people that God chose to use. But you see, one thing that they all had in common is that they were all sincere. We ought to be sincere. So how can we be sincere? First of all, be sincere in our faith. Just be real in your faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul tells his son in the faith, Timothy, he says, "And I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good, and if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust." He says, Timothy, just be a Christian. What did he say other places in Timothy? He said, to be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, he talks about this thing of unfeigned faith again, being first in his grandmother Lois and also in his mother Eunice, and he's persuaded that it's in him also. It just ought to be who we are. Hey, listen, I'm a little bit tired of this situation that's going on, or these things called Baptist brats. You ever heard that? It's just these kids that grow up in church, right? And they're basically Baptist by birth. You know, and they're not so much real. They're just kind of acting along like everybody else. And a lot of times, unfortunately, and it shouldn't be this way because they're in the right kind of atmosphere, they're in the right kind of environment, they should get it, but they end up graduating or leaving home and they leave it all behind because it wasn't real. But it needs to be real. It was real for Timothy. It was in his grandmother, then in his mother. And Paul said, hey, it's in you. You see, it ought to be real. Our faith just should be sincere. You know, what good is it if our faith is not sincere? What good was it to the Pharisees being whited sepulchers, but inside they were dead men's bones? Being called a generation of vipers. Hardening their hearts so much that they were willing to set a wicked man free and crucify God. That's what feigned faith will do for you. It needs to be unfeigned. It needs to be sincere. We just need to be called Christians first in Wiley. Why were those people in Antioch labeled such? Because they were sincere in their faith. Hey, why was Daniel maligned by the other princes? Because he was just sincere in his faith. Why was he willing to go ahead and pray three times a day as he did aforetime time with the windows open? Because his faith was unfeigned. It was sincere faith. We just need to be real. We don't need to be hypocritical or pretend, simulated. Our faith just needs to shine. In every aspect of our lives. Hey, you know what? We ought not to be one thing at church and a different thing at home. We should just be the same all the time. I'm a Christian. That's what you're going to get. Whether it's 3 o'clock in the morning or whether it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Whether I've had my coffee or not. Somebody said, no, I don't go that far. Well, okay. Well, maybe you can grow in grace, all right? Or learn to have a port put in and you can just have the coffee pumping right through there and that'll work. Then you can always have your coffee. But we just need to live a sincere faith. Over in 1 Peter, Peter says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, he says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. If the milk of the word is sincere, what are you going to get by drinking it? Anybody? Sincerity. That's what you're going to get. Because it's real. It's not fake. It's not feigned. It's not a simulated substitute. It's the real thing. So that we be, that ye may grow thereby. He then says and qualifies it by saying, if so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know what I'm for? I'm for sugar. I am. You know why? Because I've tasted sugar. All these artificial sweeteners. You know why? Because I've tasted the real thing. Oh, one of my kids, we had this conversation just the other day. She does this miraculous thing where you take a cup of mayonnaise and you take a cup of 4% buttermilk and you put them in the same container and you take this packet. It's like blue and green and beautiful colors. And you rip it open. It's got this white powder in it with these green flaky things in it. And you dump it in there. And you mix it all together. It's called ranch dressing. Okay? You say, yeah, that's the stuff I buy in the bottle at this. No, it's not. I promise. One of my kids said something. I don't like the stuff in the bottle. Yeah, because you've been raised up on the stuff that's real. That's why. Because, like, come on, can I get a witness? There's nothing like that real ranch dressing. That bottle stuff, that, don't even bring it out. I don't even want it. That's the good stuff. And don't skimp by going for the 2% buttermilk. You got to go for the 4% stuff. You got to get the good stuff in there. It's unfeigned. It's not fake. It's not simulated. It's the real thing. And listen, I'm getting to a point by this. It's not just a random rabbit trail. It really means something. If you've tasted it, if you've tasted the real thing, why do you want to go back? Why do you want to go to something else? Hey, you know, Paul talks about this in Romans. He says, you know, why are we going back to this old life back and forth? Because, you know, there's constant battle between the flesh and the spirit. Folks, listen, if we've tasted the spiritual life, if we've tasted what it means to live like a Christian and live in sincerity and live in truth and walk in the Spirit and how glorious it is. Why do you want to go back to anything else than being a sincere Christian? Sincere about your faith. There's many more verses and scriptures we can talk about. What about this? Not only can people tell if you're sincere about your faith, they can tell if you really care about them. You know, what's the most common thing people say to one another? Hi, how you doing? Now, do they really want to know how you're doing? Do they? No, it's just something we say, right? Oh, I deal with this one a lot. I'm sorry. Are you really sorry? Most of the time, no. When you're talking to kids, they're not sorry for that they've done something wrong. They're sorry they got caught. They're sorry that you're punishing them, you know, whatever the case may be. But no, did you know that lost people can really tell if you're concerned about their never dying soul or not? And I tell you what, every time I ask somebody, hey, if you die today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? I am drop dead sincere about it. Because I really do care if their soul goes to hell or not. And you ought to be too. It's not just something we say. It's not something in passing. When I ask somebody to read a tract, I really want them to read that gospel tract. If I have an opportunity to share with them the gospel, and they go through and they listen to it, I really want them to get saved. I'm invested in it. It's real to me. And it ought to be real to all of us. You know what? Paul was a sincere Christian. He was really sincerely concerned about people. In Romans chapter 9, listen to this. He says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and of the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers and of whom concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Do you think he cared that his people would be saved? Oh, yes. He had sincere concern. He also said in the next chapter in Romans 10, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel, that they might be saved. He wanted them to be saved. Hey, remember the young man that came to Jesus? We call him the rich young ruler. You know what it says about Jesus when after he'd explained these things? He said that Jesus beheld him. And he loved him. He was about to reject Christ. And he beheld him. And he loved him. We need to have a sincere concern for people that are lost and dying and going to hell. Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The very people who were crucifying him, he has got to forgive them. He cared about them. Do we care? It also says that Jesus saw them as sheep not having a shepherd, and he had compassion on them, and he taught them, and he preached to them many things. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He was about his Father's business diligently so that many could come to know him as Savior. Even in his time of death, he had sincere concern for the souls of men. Do we? We ought to. And guess what? They can see it. They know if you really care about their soul or not. We ought to be sincere. Sincere about our faith. Have sincere concern for the lost. And then lastly tonight, we ought to sincerely love. Love. I heard someone mention one of the things common things that people say to you is, I love you. But do we? And to what extent? Do we really need to go to 1 Corinthians 13? You all know it well. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. What is that? Yeah, not sincere. Feigned. Not real. Simulated. You see, we need to have this sincere love. You know what kind of love that the Father has to us? It's called unconditional love. Or agape love. You've heard that before, right? It's unconditional. In other words, the merit of the other individual doesn't matter. It's unconditional. You know what that is? It's sincere love. It's real love. Hey, it's the love that we ought to have for the lost and that they would be saved. And that shows that true concern. But it's the love that we ought to have to God. Do you sincerely love God? Because let me just sum it up for you. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we can go back through and read 1 John chapter 1, right? If we say that we have not sinned, we lie and do not the truth. Okay, listen, that goes hand in hand. Do we love God sincerely? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you that ye also receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Give me no offense at anything. We heard that word before in our text. That the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report. As deceivers, yet true. As unknown, yet well known. As dying, and behold we live. As chastened, and not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Sincere love. You see, we ought to love one another. We ought to love God. We don't have to like everybody. We do need to love them sincerely. Not to be real. Not fake. Peter says in 1 Peter 3, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You want God for you or against you? And really it boils down to what we read in our text. If you want to go back there, you can. I'm just going to read it to you again. Paul said that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. And that's what it means to be a sincere Christian. Sincere in our faith. Sincere in our concern. And sincere in our love.